Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. From Hollywood, Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath that's sweet and Halo Shampoo to glorify your hair present your theater of romance. Tonight we bring you Patrick Hamilton's great stage success, Angel Street, originally produced and directed by Shepard Traub. You will hear three 20th Century Fox stars, Miss Ann Baxter, soon to be seen in Smokey, Vincent Price, to be seen in Lever to Heaven, Sir Cedric Hardwick, soon to be seen in Sentimental Journey. Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath that's sweet and Halo Shampoo to glorify your hair. Present your theater of romance from Hollywood. Tonight, three great screen personalities unite in bringing you one of the most startling plays of stage and screen. Here are your stars, Ann Baxter, Vincent Price, and Sir Cedric Hardwick, and here is your play, Angel Street.
Quite naturally, we had no guests. So few people were aware of the fact that the house on Angel Street, gloomy, wretched on the outside, was a dark, unhealthy, shrouded place within. We had in our household a maid, a housekeeper, and a purpose. The purpose? Well, it was... Oh, your pardon, please. My name is Manningham. If people had known our house and our household, they might have suspected that the relationship between Mrs. M. and myself was as strange and unhealthy as the house itself. Foolish people.
Jack, if I am mad, you have got to treat me gently. I never lie to you knowingly. If I've taken down that picture from its place, I have not known it. If I steal your things and you find them later at the bottom of my drawer, as indeed you do, then I do not know that I have done it. You must bear with me, Jack. Not storm and rage. God knows I'm trying, Jack. I'm trying.
Bella, my dear, have you any idea where that picture is now?
Yes, I suppose it's behind the cupboard.
Will you please go and see?
Yes, it's here.
Then you did know where it was, Bella.
No, I only suppose it was. I only suppose it was because I found it there before. Don't you see? I didn't know. I didn't.
Well, there's no sense in walking about the room with a picture in your hands, Bella. Go and put it back in its proper place. And then I'd suggest that you go up to your room and lie down for a little in the dark.
Oh, no, not my room. For God's sake, don't send me to my room.
There is no question of sending you to your room, Bella. You know perfectly well that you may do exactly as you please.
I feel faint, Jack.
All right, my dear, all right. Now, take things quietly and lie down here on the couch. Here are your smelling salts. Now, my dear, I'm going to leave you in peace.
Have you got to go? Must you always leave me alone after these dreadful scenes?
Now, no argument, please. I had to go in any case after tea. Oh, where is the grocery bill? I'll stop by and pay the grocer on the way.
It's on the secretary.
All right, my dear. Are you sure it's here, dear? There's nothing here except some writing paper.
I made it there myself. Here, let me see. Now you're going to say I've hidden it.
What new trick is this you're trying to play on me?
It was there this afternoon. I put it there. This is a plot. This is a filthy plot. You're all against me. It's a plot.
Will you control yourself? Will you control yourself? Listen to me, madam. If you utter another sound, I'll knock you down and take you to your room and lock you in darkness for a week. I've been too lenient with you, and I mean to alter my tactics.
Oh, God, help me. God, help me.
May God help you, indeed. Now, listen to me. I'm going to leave you here until 10 o'clock. In that time, you will recover that paper and admit to me that you have lyingly and purposely concealed it. If not, you will take the consequences. If we are going to be enemies, you and I, you will not prosper, believe me.
Madam, I don't like to disturb you, but you have a caller. He's waiting to see you. Come, madam, it'll take you out of yourself.
It must be some mistake. He must want Mr. Manningham.
No, madam, he's come to see you. I'll fetch him.
Mrs. Manningham? I want you to take a good look at me and see if you're not looking at someone to whom you can give your trust.
Are you a doctor?
Nothing so learned, ma'am. Just a plain police detective.
Detective?
And I'll sit down so we can chat comfortably. Ah. Tell me, Mrs. Manningham, does your husband give you a free run of the whole house while he's out?
Yes. Well, no. Not the top floor. No one goes up there. It's locked.
That's strange. Well, now, Mrs. Manningham, to...
Only in the last 6 months. In this house. Things began to happen which are driving me mad with fear.
Has the top floor got anything to do with it?
Yes, yes, it has. That's how all this dreadful horror began. It's when I'm alone at night. Walking about up there.
Did it ever strike you that it might be your own husband walking about up there?
Yes. Yes, I have thought that. But I thought I must be mad.
Tell me now, what made you first think it was he?
It was the gaslight. You see the mantle there? It's burning full. But if an extra light went on in the kitchen or someone lit it in the bedroom, then this one would sink down. It's the same all over the house.
Well, that's just a question of insufficient pressure.
Every night after he goes out, I find myself waiting for something. Then all at once, I look around the room and see that the light is slowly going down. It's always at the same time, about 10 minutes after he goes out. And then I sit here terrified for hours, waiting for him to come back. And I always know when he's coming. Always. Suddenly the light goes up again. And 10 minutes afterwards, I hear his key in the lock.
Mrs. Manningham, did you ever hear of Alice Barlow?
No, who is she?
A very wealthy old lady who died some years ago. It was not my privilege to know her, but it was my duty on just one occasion to see her. That was when her throat was cut open and she lay dead on the floor of her own house.
How horrible. You mean she was murdered?
Yes, she was murdered. But the murderer was never discovered, although his motive was obvious enough. Her husband had left her the Barlow rubies, and it was well known that she kept them without any proper precautions in her bedroom. When we entered the house, everything was flung about in great disorder. Even the cushions of the chairs were ripped open. We never found the man or the rubies. I think the jewels may still be where the old lady hid them.
Well, why are you telling me all this?
What's the matter, Mrs. Manningham?
Look, the lights. They're going down. He's come back. He's upstairs now. You must go. You know you're here. You must go at once.
Steady, Mrs. Manningham, quiet. You've got to keep your head. Don't you see my meaning yet? Don't you understand that this was the house?
The house?
15 years ago, Alice Barlow lay dead on the floor in this room. The man who murdered her ransacked it but could not find what he sought. What if he is still up there searching, Mrs. Manningham?
But my husband is up there.
Yes, Mrs. Manningham, I'm afraid that you are married to a tolerably dangerous gentleman. You're not going out of your mind. You are slowly, methodically, systematically being driven out of your mind.
Oh, no, no, I don't believe
it. His name's no more Manningham than mine is. It's Sidney Power. Thank the good Lord you're not married to him, that I have come here to save you from the workings of his wicked mind.
Not married?
Oh, you see, he contracted the same sort of union with another lady many years before he met you. The lady is still alive and living in Australia.
What do you want me to do? What do you want?
I want his papers, Mrs. Manningham. There is some clue somewhere in this house, and we've got to get at it. I must prove his identity. Where might his papers be?
I don't know. Perhaps in his bureau, there against the wall. But he always keeps it locked.
Oh, he does he? Well, it doesn't look very formidable. We'll just burgle our way in. There we are. Ah, not much damage to the desk either. Now then, let's see what's here.
Well, let me see. Look, there's my brooch and my watch. They've been missing for weeks. He said he'd give me no more gifts because I lost
them. Here, now, don't keep them. We'll put them back where they were.
Here.
This brooch is a nice piece of jewelry. When did he give you this?
Soon after we were married. But it was only secondhand.
Secondhand? How did you know it was secondhand, Mrs. Manningham?
There's an affectionate inscription to someone else inside.
I don't see any.
I'll show you. It's a sort of a trick. I only discovered it by accident. You pull the pin at the back. It goes to the right and to the left. And it opens out like a star.
Oh, yes. Yes. Ah, here we are. Yes, how very odd. What are these spaces here?
There were some beads in it, but they were all loose and falling out, so I took them out.
You took them out? You still got them by any chance?
Yes, I think so. I put them in this vase here.
Let me have them. Are there nine?
Yes.
Careful now, don't drop them. There, now I'll fit them in. Did you happen to read this inscription at any time, ma'am?
Yes, I read it. What?
Beloved A.B. from C.B. That would be Alice Barlow and Charles Barlow.
Oh, no.
There, they're all in now. Ha! Huh. Tell me, Mrs. Manningham, have you ever been embraced by an elderly detective?
What do you mean?
That is your immediate fate at the moment, my dear Mrs. Manningham. My dear, dear Mrs. Manningham. Don't you understand?
No, what are you so excited about?
There. There, in front of you in that brooch, Mrs. Manningham, the Barlow rubies.
Look. The light. The lighting effect.
Yes. It's going up.
He's coming back now.
I'll have to leave you one very quickly. Give him the brooch. We'll put it back. We'll have to take a chance that he won't notice the desk. Now go to your room, lock your door, and don't come out until I call you. Now goodbye for a few hours, Mrs. Manningham. And courage.
And so ends Act One of Angel Street. Before we bring you Act Two, here's a message of importance.
Ted, let's put on a record and dance.
Well, gee, I'm sorry, but I'll have to be going.
Going? Why, it's only 10 o'clock.
Well, I have to be up early tomorrow.
But that's not his real reason. He can't tell the young lady that a little breath of trouble, I mean unpleasing breath, is tagging her. She should have used Colgate tooth powder before he called. You know, anyone can be the victim of unpleasing breath. It happens to thousands without their knowing. Marks them down socially. Brings them unhappiness. Don't let it hurt your popularity. Just do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate Tooth Powder. For Colgate Tooth Powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Scientific tests prove that Colgate Tooth Powder in 7 cases out of 10 instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. Money can't buy a dentifrice that will clean your teeth better than Colgate Tooth Powder. Remember the name, Colgate Tooth Powder, with the accent on powder. Now, Colgate Tooth Powder and Halo Shampoo bring you the second act of Angel Street, starring Ann Baxter, Vincent Price, and Sir Cedric Hardwick. Manningham returned to the house shortly after the inspector left. He called to Mrs. Manningham to come down, but she refused, saying she had retired. It was then that he discovered the rifled desk. He was a resourceful man, and Bella Manningham was no match for him. He found a way to get her down.
Come and sit down in this chair, Bella.
I want to go back to my room.
Come and sit down where I told you.
Yes.
Why are you so nervous, Bella? Are you afraid of me?
No, I'm not afraid of you.
No? And then you have a good deal of courage, my dear. How like a somnambulist you seem tonight, Bella. You have that funny, glazed, dazed look of the wandering mind, the body that acts without the soul to guide it.
My mind is not wandering.
No? When I came in, Bella, I was told that you had gone to bed. May I ask why you are still fully dressed?
I don't know. I forgot to undress.
You forgot to undress. A curious oversight, if I may say so, Bella. You know, you give me the appearance of having had rather an exciting time since I last saw you. Almost as though you'd been up to something. Have you been up to anything,
no,
Bella?
No, I don't know what you mean.
Did you find that bill I told you to find?
No.
Did you look for it?
Yes.
Where did you look for it?
Oh, around the room.
Around the room? Where around the room? In my desk, for instance?
No, not in your desk.
Do you imagine you can lie to me? Your dark, confused, rambling mind has led you into playing some pretty tricks tonight, has it not?
My mind is tired. I want to go to bed.
Your mind indeed is tired. Your mind is so tired that it can no longer work at all. You do not think, you dream. Dream all day long. Dream maliciously and incessantly. Don't you know that, you sleepwalking imbecile? What have you been dreaming tonight? Where has your mind wandered that you have split open my desk? What strange disease dream have you had tonight, eh?
Dream? Are you saying that I've dreamed? Dreamed all of that? Oh, God, have I dreamed? Have I dreamed again?
Have I not told you?
I haven't dreamed. I haven't. Don't tell me I dreamed.
What was this dream of yours, Bella? You interest me.
I dreamed of a man. I dreamed of a man.
You dreamed of a man, Bella? What man did you dream of, pray?
A man. A man that came to see me. I dreamed a man came in here.
I know you dreamed it, you gibbering wretch. I want to hear more about this man of whom you dreamed. Do you hear me? Do you hear me?
I dreamed.
Was I any part of this curious dream of yours, Mrs. Manningham? Perhaps my presence here will help you to recall it.
May I ask who the devil you are and how you got in here?
Oh, I effected an entrance a few minutes before you, and I've been hidden away ever since.
Are you going to tell me your business, sir? Or am I going to fetch a policeman and have you turned out?
Oh, by all means, fetch a policeman, Mr. Manningham. Sit down, Mrs. Manningham, wherever you'll be comfortable. I must have a little conversation with your husband.
Yes, of course.
Just what do you want, sir?
Excuse me, Manningham, but do you get the same impression as myself?
What impression?
An impression that the light is going down in this room.
Light?
Yes. Surely. There. Eerie, isn't it? Now we're almost in the dark. Why do you think that this has happened?
Are you off your head, sir?
No, just an old man seeing ghosts. It must be the atmosphere of this house. It's the oddest thing. You know the one ghost I can see, Mr. Manningham?
What ghost do you see, pray?
Remarkably clear, sir, I see it. I see a young man, Mr. Manningham. A handsome young man, but with murder in his eyes. Why, bless me soul, he might be you. And I see an old woman getting ready to go to bed here in this very room. She screams for help, screams before her throat is cut open with a knife. She lies dead on the floor of this room, there, just at your feet, Mr. Manningham.
What's your game, eh? What's your game?
I still see the ghost of a man. I see him all through the night ransacking this house, hunting. Look, in this drawer. You see this brooch? You gave it to your wife, but she didn't appreciate it. How wicked of her. But then she didn't know that it contained the Barlow rubies.
The Barlow rubies?
Here, I'll show you. There. You see? 12,000 pounds worth. You killed one woman for those and tried to drive another out of her mind. And all the time, they lay in your own desk. And all they've brought you is a rope around your neck, Mr. Sidney Power.
You seem, sir, to have some very remarkable information. Do you imagine you are going to leave this room with it in your possession?
Yes. Many men have surrounded this house, and there's a dozen in it. Didn't you realize that they had signaled their arrival from above, your own way in, Mr. Manningham, when the lights went down? I'll show you.
Yes, Inspector.
All right, men. Get him out of here.
Let go of me.
Let go of me.
Get him out of me. We don't want to have to get nasty, Governor.
Inspector, I want to speak to my husband.
Well, now, surely there's nothing...
I want to speak to him alone. I beg of you to allow me. I will not keep him long.
Oh, I don't quite understand. Alone? Oh, very well. You may speak to him alone. All right, men, make him fast in this chair. This is everything in order, but we'll wait outside. I'm afraid you will not be long, Mrs. Manningham.
I do not want you to listen.
No, I will not listen. Come in.
Right, Jose.
Jack, what have they done to you? What have they done?
It's all right, Bella. You're clever, my darling. Terribly clever. Get something to cut these ropes. I can get out through the dressing room window and make a jump for it. There's a razor in my dressing room. Quick, Bella.
A razor? Yes, I'll get it.
Did you find it, Bella?
Yes, Jack. Jack, look, I found the grocery bill, too. You see, dear, I didn't lose it. I told you I didn't.
Cut me loose, Bella. I must have been mistaken about the bill. Quickly, dear, use that razor. Quick.
Razor? What razor? Are you suggesting that this is a razor I hold in my hand? Have you gone mad, my husband?
Bella, what are you up to?
Or is it I who am mad? Yes, that's it. It's I. Of course it was a razor. Jack. I've lost it. I've thrown it from me. I've lost
it. Bella, it's there by your feet.
I'm always losing things, and I never can find them. I don't know where I put them.
Bella!
I must look for it, mustn't I? Yes, if I don't find it, you lock me in the madhouse for my mischief. Oh, where could it be now? Could it be behind the picture? Yes, it must be there. No, it's not there. Something strange. I must put the picture back. I've taken it down, and I must put it back.
Bella, listen to me.
Where shall I look now?
Bella.
The disc. Perhaps I put the razor in the disc. No, it's not here either. But here is my watch and a bill. See, I found them at last. But they don't help you, do they? And I'm trying to help you, aren't I? But how can a mad woman help her husband to escape? If I were not mad, I could have helped you. If I were not mad, whatever you had done, I could have pitied and protected you.
But because I'm mad, I've hated you. And because I'm mad, I am rejoicing in my heart without a shred of pity, without a shred of regret, watching you go with a glory in my heart.
Bella.
Inspector!
Bella.
Inspector, come and take
Bella.
This man away.
Bella.
Come and take this man away.
Bella.
Come and take this man away.
Bella. All right, Mrs. Manningham. We'll take him now. Poor lady. I came in from nowhere and gave you the most horrible evening of your life, didn't I?
Most horrible? Inspector, you've given me the most wonderful evening I've ever known. And you've given me life itself.
You have just heard Ann Baxter, Vincent Price, and Sir Cedric Hardwick in Gene Holloway's adaptation of Angel Street. Miss Baxter will return to the Theater of Romance microphone in just a moment.
Halo, everybody, halo. Halo is the shampoo that glorifies your hair. So halo, everybody, halo.
Use Halo shampoo if you want naturally bright and beautiful hair. For soap shampoos, leave a film on your hair. But Halo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling soap film. The very first time you use Halo, you'll notice your hair glistens in all its natural brilliance. The deep, full, natural color and luster comes sparkling through like sunshine through a clean window pane. And remember, even in the hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather. Halo quickly carries away loose dandruff, grease, and dirt. Needs no lemon or vinegar rinse, because Halo leaves no dulling soap film. Nothing to hide your hair's natural beauty. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Use Halo on your children's hair, too. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter. Remember, Halo glorifies your hair.
So Halo, everybody, Halo. Halo shampoo, Halo.
Colgate tooth powder for a breath that's sweet and Halo shampoo to glorify your hair. Thank Ann Baxter, Vincent Price, and Cedric Hardwick for their fine performances in Angel Street. Here now is Ann Baxter.
Speaking for Vincent and for Cedric, I'd like to say thanks to Colgate and Halo for the pleasure of presenting Angel Street tonight. Next week, we'll all be hearing Reverie, one of the great stories of a master of music, the romance of Debussy, starring a distinguished actor, Ronald Coleman. Good night and good listening.
Billboard for the Future. Next week, Charles Bandit's production of Theater of Romance presents a distinguished star, Mr. Ronald Coleman, in Reverie. In the following weeks, you'll be hearing Robert Alda and Janice Page, John Garfield and Henry Fonda, and many others. Keep this date for all the weeks to come. These presentations of Theater of Romance come to you because of your enthusiastic recognition of Colgate tooth powder for a breath that's sweet and Halo shampoo to glorify your hair. This is your host, Frank Graham, saying good night and wishing you love, happiness, romance.
Hey, here's a fat piece of news, ladies. Uncle Sam offers you more points for your used cooking fat. Yes, you now get 4 points per pound for your used cooking fat instead of 2. It means, ladies, that you can apply these points to get choice meats which are still on the ration list. And listen, ladies, the more fat you turn in, the more you help speed up the supplies of soap, nylons, electric appliances, and other wonderful peacetime products. So do increase your fat salvage and get the increased points. Your butcher pays 4 cents and 4 points for every pound of cooking fat you turn in. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.